This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, the website does have this program on it, as well as a weekly meditation that you might find useful. So if you want to contact me either by regular mail or through the website, or if you'd like to re-listen to the program, or if you would like to read the meditation, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, you're going to hear this program on Labor Day weekend, and we've been dealing with the topic of worship. And one of the ways we worship on a holiday weekend is to make sure that we pray to the Lord and thank Him for His Son, and then ask for His blessing on our activities. Some are going to get in cars on this weekend, and some are going to have accidents, if there is such a thing as an accident. Pray that the Lord preserves you and your loved ones from such a tragedy, and make sure that if God sees fit to allow such an event in your life, that you are prepared for whatever life brings your way. Praying in this way is true worship, and it's probably what Romans 10, 13, and 14 really is getting at. Romans 10, 13, and 14 says, "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, we've been saying that the two ways that worship is often described in the Bible is by talking about the one that we fear. Do we fear idols or do we fear the Lord? And that isn't necessarily always the fear of terror. That's the fear of respect in many cases. But it is a fear that is associated with knowing that the Lord is in control or wants to be in control of our lives. And then the other way in which worship is often described in the Bible, the true worship of God, is that we call on the name of the Lord. That's the one we pray to. Some people pray to idols, and we pray to the Lord. Now, some have used this phrase, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," to indicate that if you want to be saved, you just pray and ask the Lord to save you. And while I believe people get saved that do that, ultimately they didn't get saved unless they trusted in the Lord. You'll notice that really the verse does say, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" In the Bible, faith in the Lord is always what saves, and we need to make sure that we emphasize that. In my own work with people, when they say they'd really like to be saved, I take them to the scriptures and show them the scriptures and ask them if they understand that they're sinners and ask them if they understand through the scriptures that Christ died for them. And then I'll read them the verses that talk about the death of Christ and ask them if those verses are true. Because once we get a hold of the fact the verses are true, then it's easy to believe those truths. And of course, if they say, "Yes, I believe they're true," I say, "Then can you thank the Lord for saving you?" And at that point, they are calling upon the name of the Lord. At that point, if they are honestly thanking the Lord from their heart, they are fulfilling, in my mind, what this scripture is really talking about. And so on this weekend, once we're saved, we don't quit calling on the name of the Lord. If we have confidence in him, he's the one that we look to for guidance and help and blessing throughout our lives. We have conversations with him all the time, and it's a wonderful thing to know that this cell phone tower is never down. The connection is always good, and we can always talk to the Lord. And we don't always have to do that on our knees. We don't always have to do that in a formal way with other people. We can do that on a weekend like this, as need be, in the car. Well, don't close your eyes. We can do that as need be. If an emergency arises, we can say, "Lord, help us." We can do that. And it's nice to know that once we're the Lord's, that he has a personal interest in us, and that he does listen to and answer our prayers. So on this weekend, we are able to call on the name of the Lord, and we should call on the name of the Lord and make sure the Lord is involved in the activities that we want to all of the activities that we're doing. Make sure that if we're enjoying time with our family, if we're enjoying time with relatives, if we're enjoying time with friends, that whatever we do, that we can bring the Lord into it and ask him for blessing on that activity. Now, I said that we were going to look at Genesis 22 today. Genesis 22 has to do with Abraham offering Isaac on an altar that Abraham builds. And, of course, if you read the story, you'll find out that Abraham was tested to the point where he was raising the knife to slay his son Isaac when the Lord found a substitute for Isaac, and Abraham did not have to offer him on that altar. Now, some have said this is the first mention of worship in our Bible, and I'm going to read the passage. I think it's worth doing. It's from Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. By the way, this place ends up being the place where the temple is built later. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Notice, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you. Now that last statement is significant. We're going to go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. And yet he was supposedly going to offer his son as a burnt offering. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. It's really your unique son from me. He did have another son, but this was the unique son, the son of promise. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, Abraham's worship was associated with faith in God and a test that most of us would have failed. You see, Abraham had been told that he would have a son, and that son would be the one through whom blessing ultimately would flow. He would be the one through whom Abraham would populate the earth, or at least Palestine, that area of Palestine, he would populate it. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars in heaven and as numerous as the sand on the sea. Abraham had been told that. And yet Abraham grew quite elderly, and his wife grew quite elderly, and they'd never had a son. Now, after Abraham had had that promise made to him, he tried to help the Lord fulfill the promise by having a son through a handmaiden of Sarah's. And that was done apparently sometimes in that day, where the servant of a woman who could not have children would bear children in the name of the wife who could not have children, and that would be considered the child of, in this case, Sarah. But nevertheless, while they tried to help God fulfill his promise, that was not the promised son. That was Ishmael. And that was not the promised son. The promised son was Isaac. And when Abraham was past the ability to have children, and when Sarah was past the ability to have children, they had this promised son. And now, in a test that would boggle the mind, the Lord is asking Abraham to offer his son on an altar. Now, because Abraham believed that this was the son of promise and that all the promises being made to him about possessing the land and having children were going to be fulfilled through this son, he had confidence that God was going to raise him from the dead, but he was willing to slay the son. And this was a test of obedience. And it's really a test of obedience because God has never demanded the sacrifice of humans to please him, with the exception of the sacrifice of his own son. And so human sacrifice was associated with pagan worship. And so this must have really boggled the mind of Abraham. But yet when we come to Hebrews, we find out that it was that Abraham did have confidence that God was able to raise him from the dead. In Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." And so, while Abraham had enough faith to do what God asked him to do, that's the real test of worship, isn't it? Now, the word worship is used twice before in Genesis, but it's used in the sense of bowing down before angels, and it has to do with position. It has to do with submission, and in a sense, the word here has to do with submission as well. It has to do with being willing to believe God when he tells us something. And I believe God when he tells me that Christ died for my sins. And that's where worship starts. Having faith enough in God to believe that he knows how to save us. And that when we trust in the truth of Scripture, that he will save us. But then, after we're saved, do we demonstrate our faith by looking for the promises of God in Scripture and being obedient to the scriptural way of obeying and worshiping God? I hope that we do. Now, we do pray for thy blessing, our Heavenly Father, upon this program and upon those who are listening. We trust that the program has been helpful and that you can use it for thy glory. We ask for these mercies in our Savior's name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.